Hey, mixtape listeners. You can find us every Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Do you have Karl Malone on your list?
Sure don't.
All right, good. Well, fuck Karl Malone is the official. I won't cut that out then. I just wanted to know if I had to like go back and move everyone down one because you had lied to me.
Nope. It's like he never played.
Good. We're in a very official fuck Karl Malone podcast. So no, he's not making any of our top 50s. If that angers you, I was going to say you'd have to live in Utah to be a big like Karl Malone stan. So
yeah, to be a piece of shit to be a Karl Malone stan. I don't care where you live. I don't care how nice he was in the pick and roll.
Well, I don't know anyone. Like, I've never met a Karl Malone fan in person.
I don't know if I've ever seen any online.
Yeah, we do a lot of tarnishing of his name, and he's done plenty of that on his own too. But
that's what I'm saying. I just read the list. He wrote it.
Yeah, and I've never had anyone come into my mentions and be like, "Now listen, friend, this guy was hell on the low block."
Yeah, the most I've ever gotten is like, I know he's a piece of shit, but he's like second all time in scoring. And I was like, I don't see his name. Looking right at it, don't see it.
Must be a different list that you got. So who do you think, now that the dust has settled, I know night of, I was very high on Robert Williams, still am, but is there anyone who sticks out this many days after as like the biggest winner or the biggest loser?
Hold on, this mic is no good.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's. I heard like three words you said.
All right, was it doing it during the opening part too, or just recently?
No, just recently. It was fine right during the opening part, and it started again recently.
All right, if it does it again, let me know, and I'll just switch to the shittier worse.
It's doing it literally right now.
All right, well then.
We try to give the people what they want. Sometimes it works. Often it doesn't.
Is this better?
So far.
Tyler?
Can you hear me?
No, nothing works.
Awesome.
Speakers, sure, Digital. There's no speakers to be had.
Can you hear me?
Like, yeah, now I can. I'd fucked. Is the mic better?
Yeah, for now.
All right, yeah, we'll see. It's I tried a different USB, and if that doesn't work, I don't know.
The old heave-ho.
So were there any winners, or I'm looking pretty buff in the camera reflection. I like that. Damn. Are there any clear-cut, now that the dust has settled, we're a few days after the fact, are there any clear-cut winners and losers team-wise from the draft?
I gotta say, I'm looking back. Like, I really had to, like, go back over the draft, like, the next day because I was, like, doing all that shit live. I was like, well, none of that's stuck in my brain. I don't know who. Like, I don't know who's where. Where Kevin Knox went where? What? What's going on? I'm trying to see. Let's have a losers, I don't like what Sacramento did. That's, I don't know how else to say it.
Do you ever?
Sometimes. I liked the first part of what they did last year and hated the second part. I don't Fair. Like, yeah, I don't like this at all. Losers, Mo Bamba, because yeah. I just can't imagine that he, again, to no fault of his own, that environment, they're just bad in Orlando. Michael Porter, I would say, like, it could be in his benefit, like, if he just pretty much goes like a 45 win team and can contribute right away, but that back, well, I don't.
While I would say he's a winner because I do think he went to a smart team, is Denver already, from what I've read from reporters out there, they've already said he's just not going to play at all this year, which I think is probably for the best.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Like, I was going to say, like, take him, like, bring him along slowly, but yeah, if they decide all season, by all means.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If they do decide that, they can't go back on it. Like, either commit to it. Don't try and make him, like, your sixth man for the playoffs. Like, just commit to it.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, I would shut him down either now or play it out and see. Yeah, none of that Fultz business.
Right.
I'm trying to say, I like, I don't love any of the Hawks' individual picks, but as a total, I like their three first-round picks. Like, I can see the vision.
And, who was it, Trae Young?
They got Trae Young, Huerter from Maryland, and Spellman from Villanova.
Mm.
It's like all three of those guys can, like shoot for their position, dribble a little bit. I don't know if any of those, like, Trae Young might be a star, might not. I feel like Huerter and Spellman can be solid. So, I'd like, you got three first-round picks. If you're going to keep all of them, then, like, I don't mind just adding pieces to the core.
Yeah, and Spellman's a guy who I wouldn't be shocked if in a few years, like, he went 31 but, or 30th, but I wouldn't be surprised if, I know he's a little bit older. He's older as a freshman, right?
Yeah, that's what he redshirted, so he's a redshirt freshman, but he's, like, 21.
Yeah.
So he's a little old for his class.
Yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised if he turned out to be like a very solid piece. Not like a star or anything, but that wouldn't surprise me.
No, I agree. Again, I think Atlanta's had a long history of developing people, like, regardless of the coach. So I like all three. Like, I can't see those guys be like, man, I can't believe none of those guys made it to their second contract.
The one thing I will say, I think it was... Actually, I don't remember who said it. There was an NBA guy out there. I'm sorry, I forget who it was. But they said, I don't know if I'd have the balls to be the guy who traded away Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Within that, I kind of like that, though. Like, they decided Trae Young was their guy. They traded down, picked up the extra asset. And, I mean, it's like who cares if you drafted him or not? Like, if you didn't want him, like, it's not going to matter. Like, I don't know how much the Bucks are missing Dirk right now. Like, it just, over time, it just doesn't matter. And if Trae Young's good, it's not going to matter at all.
Correct. That part's true. It's just more, they're now going to be linked together forever. And that's just, like, it's somewhat laziness on our, like, us as observers' behalf, but it's just true. Like, they're always going to be linked together.
It is, but even, like, I like Atlanta's GM. This is his first draft, and he was like, yeah, like, I'll draft him and trade him. I don't give a fuck. Like, I like that. Like, I don't care. If I want this guy, like, they said it was too high for Spellman. Don't care. I like him. Like, I like that he's doing that, not worrying about what they'll think. Like, I'd heard some of the Kings, like, talk themselves out of Doncic because it was like, oh, he's the foreign guy. Vlade's just going to take him. And I think
that's dumb.
I think they outsmarted themselves.
See, I like Bagley more than you, but if that was the reason why they took Bagley, that's as dumb as it gets.
Well, it's like that, and I don't. You're either punting on some. I think Zebo's got either one more year or two, like Scal, Colley-Stein, Costas. Like, they've got 100 people. So again, I just don't know where Bagley's getting these minutes. Like, I don't know what the plan is for him, and I don't think they have one.
No, they for sure. That if there's one thing we know for sure, it's that the Kings do not have a plan.
Like, even then, it'd be outsmarting yourself, but, like, if you know you want Bagley, you couldn't go from 2 to 5 or something? Like, you get that extra asset from Dallas? I don't know if anybody would take Bagley 4 or 5.
I guess you'd have to know Atlanta wanted Trae Young, and then again, Atlanta could have traded with... like Chicago to swap, because if they really just wanted Trae Young and they knew he wasn't going to make it, like if they knew Orlando wasn't going to take him, which I guess is a risk.
Well, I think the word was Orlando was going to take him, and I think that's why they only went to 5.
Right, yeah, so I guess that's... I can't remember what I was even getting at here. Oh, Sacramento wanting Bagley. So yeah, it was like... They could only trade with Orlando if Orlando wanted Doncic, which I don't see them being smart enough to do.
The ninth center.
And then, yeah, I don't know who else would have been high on Trae Young. Like Chicago, probably not. So, Atlanta could have traded back to still get him if Sacramento had flipped. Because obviously people wanted Doncic. I'm sure Ainge was involved. I know he spoke openly about how heavy the price was for them to jump up that high. And of course, that's much different than a team like Dallas, who's sitting there at five for that immediate return in the trade. So, yeah. I don't know. Sacramento, I think, got a very good
mic.
All right.
You can hear me?
Yuck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Sacramento got, like, who I think is a good player. It's just, if they definitely don't have a plan around what they're going to do with all these people.
I think, and that's my thing. Like, I think for Bagley to really be well, I think a lot of other things have to be in place. And I don't see that in Sacramento.
No, for sure not. And it's like, they have like a few good pieces, I'd argue, and I just see them being really good elsewhere.
Yeah, that Orlando West.
The Cavs? How do you think the Cavs did on draft night?
Poorly, to this man. I'm not as high on Sexton. I'm definitely not number eight high on Sexton with some of the names that were still left there. I just don't see, if LeBron stays, I have no idea how he helps. And if LeBron goes, I think there was picks with greater upside.
That's the part I definitely agree with. There were for sure picks with like much higher upside. But I think if he stays, I think this is, the Hornets are just going to trade Kemba for Sexton.
That's what it sounds like, which I guess, but man, oh man, I'd hate for Shaw to be like, never mind. Like, fuck, we're just stuck with Colin Sexton now. We could have had anybody.
Yeah, where that's very strange is Charlotte also could have just kept Shea, and instead they traded him away the second they got him, which I still don't fully understand.
They picked up like it was like the Sarge, Elfrid Payton thing. Like, they knew the Clippers wanted him, so they grabbed him to get an extra something. Like, two first-round picks in 2026. It was one of those. Which, I don't hate it. Like, if you still get your dude and get a couple extra picks, but, yeah, okay. I just have no faith they'll do anything smart with those picks.
Is this better or worse?
That's better.
Better?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, cool. I just switched to the computer microphone. What do you think of what the Clippers did, though, getting the guard they really liked and you had as point guard two or point guard one?
I don't know what people consider Doncic, I guess. Because if he's a point guard, then yeah, he's one. But if right. not, then yeah, I could see the argument for Trey. I would prefer Shea, but I can't see the argument for Sexton.
And then they took combo guard Jerome Robinson, where people had him projected, which I guess they must have promised him because people had him projected in like the 20s. And he was like, no, I'm going to go to the draft. So he knew he was going lottery.
I don't know. What does a team get out of promising a kid? I don't get it. Like, it's only risk for the team. It sounds good, but it's like they're going to be happy if you draft them, promise or not.
Well, I guess it's more like I could see it when the Celtics promised Willie Cauley-Stein that we were going to take him with the James Young pick, and he decided to go back to school because he thought that was too low, which very understandable. I'm sure he wishes he was in Boston than Sacramento right now, but yeah, I guess that's the only – if a kid's like, no, I think I'm going to go back, but you really want him, because then you kind of know, like, all right, he's not getting any interest anywhere else really, or that's public, but we want to make sure he's in this draft. That's the only scenario where it makes, like, any sense to me.
Even then, I don't know how we get public. Like, I can't – like, the kid's not going to tell because his bag is secure. Like, I heard the
right.
like the Bulls, they said they were looking to trade 22 – but they couldn't because they had already promised Chandler Hutchison. And it's like, this is going to be the first time a team ever goes back on their word? Like, what? What is this?
That's very strange.
It's like promising a guy in the 20s. Like, I feel like every year we have you have no idea. If he's there, he's there. You take him, fine. But, like, promising a guy at 22, and it's like Chandler Hutchinson, nothing wrong with him as a prospect, but that's the guy you're like, oh, yeah, we need the Hutch man.
Well, did you also see the Hawks were going to trade up to take Herter? They were going to trade up to, I think, 16 or 15. Because they were afraid, like, the Bucks were going to take Herter. And then they saw the tip get picked on Twitter. And so they were like, all right, never mind.
Yeah, I don't hate that. He saw that the Woj reporter, they were strongly considering taking a look at Kevin Herter.
That's something we missed during the draft. I guess we kind of saw it, but we were so focused we missed the easy jokes of how he was wording every tip that was, or every pick that was getting tipped. That was very amusing.
Yeah, I was sitting there reading like it. I was like, well, I guess it's not for Stone. He says they're only salivating over Zaire Smith. They're not on, you know, these things change like the weather.
That was quite peculiar. I guess for Robert Williams, he said it was a tantalizing pick for the Celtics, which is very funny.
He just was just going through the source. I also like the I like all the picks the Sixers made. They just traded some of them away.
Sure did.
But I like the Bridges trade. The more I get away from it, I really like that for Philly.
See, I guess what I would say is Zaire Smith in a perfect world develops the skills Mikal Bridges already has. Granted, he's the much better athlete and I assume younger.
Considerably younger.
What's like 3 years?
It might be four. I'm checking
out. Well, right that, now. Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Zaire just turned, yeah, 3 years, like 3-4 years.
Okay. So, yeah, that's why I almost understand it less for Phoenix. Like, why wouldn't they want the younger, more athletic guy?
I kind of see it. Like, that's one where I kind of see it for both sides because I think they're tired of, like, they've got 119-year-olds. Like, that's all they've been taking. Like, all their, like, I think Chris, Bender, and Booker are all like 21 or under. Aiden's 20. So you get Bridges, who's 22, a somewhat of a vet. Like, you're not going to have to develop him as much, like, with Zaire Smith, because everybody needs to develop. Like, Josh Jackson. I know he's the elder statesman, but the Miami pick is what I don't know about, unless you think Miami's just going to stink.
Well, that's what I. Yeah, I would want that Miami pick.
That's why I like what Philly did. It's like I can see the Zaire Smith over Bridges if you're going long term, because again, the 3 years in the athleticism and you get the pick, which I think is unprotected.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so it's like I feel like we see time, like that's how every team ever stumbled into something. Like, yep, unprotected pick turned into Larry Bird. What do you know?
I guess for Philly more, it was almost too perfect. Like, every Sixers fan I talked to really wanted Mikal. And I don't know, at the worst, he could be like a spot shooter. And Zaire is going to need several years to be that guy. And they really need a shooter immediately. I don't always like drafting for need, but I think this was a case where it kind of worked a little perfectly. Again, I like the Miami pick, but I don't know. It just felt very weird in the moment.
See, I think it feels like a long-term thing to me. Like, I think Bridges would be – like, he's definitely going to help you more next year. And probably next couple years than Zaire Smith. But if they know, it's like, okay, yeah, we just got housed in the second round. Maybe we're further away than we thought. Like, we might have a little longer view than we thought. Let's pick up an extra pick, bet on the upside. And, I don't know who – if Brett Brown made the trade, I like the trade. I don't know who's GM in there, but I did like that move.
No clue. Yeah, not a clue.
Just computer simulation. Then they drafted Kyrie Thomas, which if they kept, I was like, oh, that's perfect. But now I think they traded him to the Pistons. I don't remember what they got for him. But
well, that almost made the Bridges-Zaire trade worse for me because I think I'd rather just have Bridges and Kyrie because Kyrie is that – He's more athletic and he's the defensive like stopper. I get again, no one's as young as Zaire, but I don't know. I think I would have been thrilled if I were a Sixers fan and I came away with those two pieces and no Miami pick. Like, you're already young enough.
I love that. As much as anyone, love having future assets. But I think those two guys specifically, I would have been like, oh, yeah, we won the draft.
Oh, Kyrie's 22, man. I can't call it. Weird that they traded him for two future second round picks. That's what. Okay. If it was like they traded him for another guy that night. Okay. But yeah, if you're going to draft Kyrie Thomas, I would have kept him.
Right.
Especially in the second round. Like there's no guarantee for you. I could say like, okay, we traded back, got another guy we want. We got Jalen Brunson and a pick or something. But no, it's just like, yeah, we'll take it down the road whenever.
Yeah. I was shocked Kyrie kept falling as much as he did, just being like how good of a wing defender specifically he was. I thought there would be like a huge need for that in this draft, and nope, very incorrect.
Yeah, no, I guess he's technically a guard, and guard defense doesn't matter. What can you do?
See, now we know for this year at least that it doesn't matter.
I just want to have the log updated.
Well, when like Dante DiVincenzo goes 17th,
yuck.
Hard to imagine guard defense is the most important thing going these days.
I didn't like that pick either. That was one I said at the time I didn't like, and I might like it less now.
Him and Grayson Allen went within 4 picks of each other.
Yeah, and I think I'd rather have Grayson.
I don't disagree. I just think it was a little early for both of them.
Oh, I agree. I thought it was way too early for DiVincenzo. Like, I'm looking right now. Holy, some of these, this last part of the first round is not looking too good in the light. I think it's going to be a lot of really good second round picks.
I agree with that. Should we get Robert Williams out of the way so we can focus on the rest of the draft?
Oh, boy. Yeah, spout your love.
I just, the things that seem to be the reasons why he fell were a leg injury that is not severe in the slightest, so I don't know how that factored in. I just saw people saying it. And that he's from Shreveport. Like, that seemed to have been held against him, that he was just, like, a brash young man from Shreveport. Listen, if there's one type of player that Danny Ainge is always eyeing, it's a brash young man from a tough neighborhood. I mean, even Tatum, who I would argue is like one of our softer appearing players, he's from a tough part of St. Louis. Like, none of our guys are like bitch made. Even Flower Mound, I know you're waiting to say it.
I didn't say a thing.
But it's like Youngstown, Jaylen Brown's neighborhood, which I'm sure you know better than I do. St. Louis, fucking. And now Shreveport, like, I'll take all of these guys. If the biggest knock on this guy was his attitude and they don't know if he's fully motivated, like, yeah, if the motivation thing's true, I would still take this guy. I've seen plenty of other, like, Jeff Green went 5th. I don't know if I can hold motivation against a guy.
Yeah, I keep hearing, like, he's a bad apple or whatever, but I've never heard anything in particular. Like, I'm not saying he's a great kid or anything, but I just like to hear his, like, what are the stories? Like, what did he?
Right.
Like, did he like throw a coach down a flight of steps? Like, okay, that's a red flag. Did he like check out halfway during the season when they were like 12-11? That's not a red flag to me.
No. No. In every interview I've heard, he gives all the credit in the world to Tyler Davis. He's like, man, he really showed me a lot. He was the reason. He was in my ear all the time, like telling me I was better than everyone else on the court. Like, so I've never heard a selfish guy give that much credit to a former teammate. And if a former teammate was able to get him to average like 4.1 blocks per 40, I can only imagine what like the Celtics teammates are going to be able to do to if like Horford jumps on that guy's ear and he's like, no, this is how you play defense. This is like how you set picks and how you do dribble handoffs. Like, this guy's going to be a fucking monster if that's the case.
For me, he's like, I only listen to Tyler Davis, so suck my dick, Horford. Bring him in and no dice.
I'm fine. Listen, if Tyler Davis needs to be our 15th man in order to get that, I'm fine with it.
He gets a 10-year contract. Like, what was the guy? He used to like play horse with Larry Bird, and they had to like trade him because him and Bird would always go out and get drunk together. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. I'm blanking on it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it'd be like that. Yeah, they're inseparable. Like Mobley and franchise.
But, I think it was around like pick 16 or 17 when we noticed he was still on the board, and I didn't want to get too ahead of myself, because anytime I see a prospect dropping that I really want, that's when they get taken immediately. But the further he dropped, and the fact that he was able to go to – that's one of those picks where when – like if the Spurs had taken him at 27 in years past when they were good and weren't crumbling, that's a pick everyone's like, God damn it, why didn't someone else – like Jordan Bell last year to Golden State. Everyone's pissed when that happened.
Oh, yeah. Golden State was the next pick. If he goes there, everybody's like, well, they've done it again. How do we – like they've got 9 centers already. Doesn't matter. They'll figure it out. Robert Williams will be running the offense by October. No, I agree. Like after what pick 14, I yelled Robert Williams after like every single pick. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, you took a Simon, like Portland took Simons, like a kid that hasn't played any sort of like collegiate ball. I think he's already 20, and he's like 6'3". Like, what's the success rate of that?
Can't imagine high, Tyler.
Like I saw people saying like they're more excited for the Mitchell Robinson pick for the Knicks than the Kevin Knox pick, and I just like based off what, like gym work at him dunking from the 3-point line of a elementary school gym,
because he's an unknown. You know that anytime you haven't seen a guy, like they automatically become more tantalizing. Like, oh well, the fact that this guy's getting drafted, he must have something that I haven't seen.
He could be anything. He could even be Kevin Knox.
Right. I don't understand being more excited for him over Knox. I'd be excited that we're taking that risk, especially as a Knicks fan. Like, oh, yeah, we got Knox. I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to turn into. And then we got this lottery ticket. That's pretty intriguing. Let's see how that turns out in, like, 3 years.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that feels like a home run draft to me. And I've seen, like, multiple people being like, I don't know about this Knox guy. And, I mean, you can only say it so much. He is so young. Like that's not the only reason he's going to be good, but he has more skills. Like, this team was a mess, which was no fault of his own. And people are like, yeah, what about the Kansas State game? Fair. But if you're going to point out the worst game, then you need to go back and watch the West Virginia game where not a soul alive could stop him.
Right.
So I think you got to weigh both of them, but what do I know?
Nothing. That's what you know.
It's true.
Reeves' favorite player alive, Aaron Holiday, to the Pacers.
I thought he was going to just keel over. I thought Landry going to Philly 26 was a bit high, too.
Yeah, that was... Again, you're talking me more and more into hating Philly's draft. The more we...
I'm just saying, like, for what was available there, like, again, I'm just looking now. Okobo, who I like, Javon Carter, Jalen Brunson. Those are the first three picks of the second round. Like, Gary Trent was still there. Kyrie Thomas was still there. Jared Vanderbilt, still of the draft. Like, there were a lot of people there. Landry, he felt like somebody that would be, like, they had 38 and 39. He wasn't going to make it to 38 or 39. I feel like he would.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'd hope so.
Yeah, and if he does, it's like, somebody reached. We'll just keep Kyrie Thomas. How about it?
That also reminds me the Lakers took Moritz Wagner. Like, just, or Wagner, sorry.
Yeah. Yuck. Okay, I think we're going to look back at that stretch of Simons, Wagner, Shamit, and be like, yuck, right before pick 27. Strikes gold again.
Literally, one of those teams just had to make that move, and the Celtics probably trade back into the second round and get either Kyrie Thomas or De'Anthony Melton, who I thought that was a very good pick for the Rockets. I think he's going to be very useful for them.
No, that's new Patrick Beverley. I think that's a great pick.
That's what I mean. They don't need him to do anything other than just clamp up, and he's like, all right, cool.
We'll do.
It works for me.
That I love Shake Milton in Dallas. He went 54, which feels like a crime.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of. The Lakers took the guy from Kansas too. I didn't know that till like just now. The foreign kid, the shooter.
Oh, Sfi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's still 14, so that's good.
It's true.
Well, yeah, very strength.
Yeah, that kid's 21. I thought he was younger. I know he's a senior, but I did think he was younger than that.
Right. He came into Kansas at 17, and he's been there for fucking ever. Hammy goes to the Nets, which is perfect.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think he got traded, though.
Did he?
I think he went to Charlotte. Oklahoma City.
All right. See, I was looking at it very differently because I'm on Wikipedia and it says like from Milwaukee to Oklahoma via Charlotte, but it still says Brooklyn as like the team he's on.
Oh, nah, he's a Thunder. A Thunderian? Well, I don't know.
Thunderite.
Yeah. I also don't like all the Zaire Smith. They're like, this guy's easily the best athlete in the draft. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He can't do much else. But if you want to do a decathlon, I'll take Hammy against any athlete in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Zaire does get a lot of love. I mean, I've watched every single Robert Williams III video on YouTube.
True.
I'll throw his name into this. This guy's fucking catching alley-oops at the top of the backboard.
Yeah. He had a bad attitude, though. What can you do with that? I didn't show up to Calm 101.
You know what? I'm the more I'm thinking about it, I'm sure Danny Angel's the one who started this rumor.
Probably. He probably told Way, now something's going to get back to you. It's from me. Just know there's no truth in it. But I did set out word that you got a 4 on the Wonderlic score, or the Wonderlic test.
Yeah, I still can't believe that happened. That was, like, it was a pretty quiet draft in terms of Kawhi didn't get moved, and
Kimba.
Who else was on the Kemba didn't get moved. I think he still might. It didn't happen on draft night. So that was, I don't know. But there were plenty of like trades and I don't know. I thought it was a very deep draft. I do agree with you. I think this is one of the first drafts where like the first 10 picks of the 30s are going to look a lot better than the last picks of the 30s are going to look better than the 20s in like 5 years.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Like, especially these guys really get time. Like, I'm looking right now. Gary Trent Jr. went to Portland. Like, I like that pick a lot. Like, second round, rolled the dice. Like, he can shoot. He's a good athlete. I think Duke was just a terrible situation. And also, I'm just betting on the guys who were sons of role players. Like, I feel like it's like Clay and Steph. Maybe we just need to get them to Golden State. But I don't know, for whatever reason, it works.
Yeah, you were very high on him, and he was bigger because that was the guy we were talking about when I thought he was smaller than he actually was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that definitely made me a bigger fan, especially if he's just going to be a shooter like Crab, like you were saying.
That's it. He turned 19 like this calendar year too. So it's like to get a 5-star like Duke guy like that at second round feels like a good move.
Yeah, I mean, even even Quinn Cook made contributions to Golden State this year. It wasn't like he was starting in the finals or anything, but he was big down the stretch for them, just like limping into the playoffs.
Right.
So if you can get a guy who is just one of those, not heritage. What's the fucking word I'm looking for?
Heralded.
No, it's not herald. It definitely doesn't even begin with an H. It's just
blue bloods.
It's like, well, kind of. It's something along that line. Like when your dad plays in the league.
Legacy?
Yeah, we're on the right path. I don't know, dude. My brain stinks. But when you can get a guy like that, that's especially in the second round, and it's not like guaranteed deals or anything like that. Like, yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah, like I think it was the Portland GM that was like, who have we ever seen picked in the 30s coming to contribute? Was that Portland's GM?
He said 37th specifically, a year after the Celtics took Semi Ojeleye, who started in fucking playoff games this past year.
Yeah, next pick after that, Jordan Bell, NBA champion Jordan Bell. So not like not a great example. Like even after that, I'm looking like Dylan Brooks went 45. He played all 82 games this year. Like 11 points, 3 boards. If you want to say that, like those are worthless numbers, whatever. He was a piece. He was something.
For sure.
Like, Sendarius Thornwell played 73 games. Sterling Brown played 54 games. So, yeah, just this, like, oh, nobody ever gets any good picks at 37. That's preposterous. Like, I'm looking, 2 drafts ago, pick 38, Patrick McCaw. So, it's like, you can easily get pieces that can contribute to like any sort of team if you're good.
What was Draymond? Like 35th?
Something like that. Brogdon was 36 in that same draft, so maybe that was his cutoff. He's like, nope, after I lost Brogdon, you're not getting any good players after that.
Draymond was the 35th overall pick. So maybe he's not wrong.
Yeah, I think I'd fire you that day. Like, you say some shit like that. Like, what'd you just say about my team? You say you just don't care about OP? Yeah, we don't have nothing to talk about. The year before that, 37 was Rashawn Holmes, and number 40 was Josh Richardson. So it's like, you can clearly, Norman Powell was 46. You can clearly get players this late.
I'm not convinced.
I just go back every single year, 1947. Koozie, 47.
It was such a weird thing to say. Like, there's no point in the calendar year where that's like a smart thing to say.
Yeah. No, I'm looking the year before that, 38, Spencer Dinwiddie. 39, Jeremy Grant. 41, Jokic. So it's like, you can easily, the $1 trillion man, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, he got himself a nice hefty bag today. Happy for him.
Substantial bag.
Which, I mean, I almost wish we didn't even know NBA player contracts, because there's really no negotiating unless you're like a $4 or $6 million guy. If you're just like a max guy, you're always going to get just the most the team can give you.
Yeah, those are guys where it's like, I think I said at the time, I was like, I don't know why Anthony Davis has an agent. He was clearly going number one, and he's clearly, like, if he pans out, he's just going to sign the max forever. He doesn't need anybody for that.
No, and he hasn't been in, like, any movies or anything. So, yeah, that guy is just getting high off the hog. Like, he's not doing anything.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, oh, well, don't you want those opportunities? Not really. I'm chilling. Like, I make plenty of money. I live in a great city. I'm good.
Yeah, that was I remember Gilbert Arenas had his agent read over the contract he was about to sign to make sure there were no like loopholes that were going to get him fucked over. Mm. And then before he signed it, he fired him so he could he then subtracted the amount of money that was going to go to his agent and gave that back to the Wizards so they could use that in free agency.
Good guy, Gil.
Yeah, which I wouldn't have done that part of it, but everything else was very funny about that.
Well, even then, like, you can, lawyers work by the hour. It's like, yo, I just need you to, however many hours it takes, can you review this and make sure they're not shaking me down? I will pay you money. Yes.
Right. Yeah, just, my father, when I was in high school, was trying to put me on to be a contract lawyer. Mm. And basically just like, yeah, just hire. He did, and I did not. And I, as people can tell from me being on this show right now, did not pursue it.
Mm, too early.
But yeah, just being a contract lawyer and just being like imagine if you just got like one client and then spread by word of mouth, like, yeah, I'll just read over everything. It'll take me 5 hours. I charge, I don't know, 20 grand. Like,
well, and you did that. This is my fee either by the hour, by the day, whatever. And like every draft day, you're just heating up.
Right. Yeah.
Or not even draft, I guess NFL, because, yeah, NBA, they're scales. You really don't need an agent for your first draft or your first contract.
Sure. At no point, I would argue, do you need an agent.
I mean, I get, like, second-round guys, I guess, to, like, work the phones, get you workouts and stuff. But, yeah, DeAndre Ayton shouldn't have an agent.
Do we have any more draft takes? Or do you want to just, like, do an ad and then get into the top 50?
Yeah. I got no more draft. Yeah, I don't. Like, we're not going to know anything. I've got all my takes out.
For the draft, yeah. What are our advertisements?
Let's have a look-see. Well, what do you know? It's our old pals at MyBlue.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Now, sometimes, it's hard to find a satisfying vape that's simple and convenient, you know?
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Blue, who introduced vaping to the world, that's a strong claim. Is now introducing MyBlue. I didn't say it was wrong, but it is a strong claim. With My Blues Easy, use one-click liquid pod. You can switch between flavors in seconds. And for a limited time, they're letting you try their new My Blues starter kit for guess how much?
$1,000.
Are you reading this too? How did you? Okay, well, that didn't work out the way I wanted. Yes, $1,000. But if you act right now, it'll be just $1. That's right.
What?
Just $1. Now. Terms and conditions may apply. But you get your range of flavors to choose from, 20 minutes to charge, and you're set all day. Starter kit for $1. That's pretty good.
It literally doesn't get better than that.
Oh, but it does. All you got to do is head over to MyBlue.com to check out MyBlue and their $1, 100 cents trial offer on a MyBlue kit. Check out MyBlue.com for full details.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. Like $1?
The more I think about it, I think they did invent like vaping too, because I remember those commercials like way back.
No, I agree. Yeah, because for the longest time, it's like, I just don't know what it is. But yeah, they've been in these streets.
You know who else has been in these streets?
Huh?
You and I, heck yeah, wearing our MVMT sunglasses.
Heck yeah.
You finally got yours? How much has your life improved?
Considerably. It went from
that's what will happen.
2 to 3.
That's 33% growth. It sure is. Some would argue it's 50% growth because you're at a 2. You cut that in half. That's 1. You added that to the top. Mm. So it's 1 of those 2.
Mm.
But I used to hate sunglasses. They just like felt weird on my – it was like they were too close to my eyes. So I didn't care for it.
McMahon likes a little space.
I do a lot of space, and I don't get it in most parts of the world because I'm a gargantuan human being. But I don't think it was the sunglasses' fault. I think it was I was buying like cheap, shitty ones from like CVS.
My issue, it's one of those things like once you're in for life.
Correct.
It's like once you start using chapstick or whatever, you're just in for life. You start wearing shades, you're in for life. And yeah. I think I'm in for life now, and if so, I'm fine with it. They're a great pair of shades.
Yeah, they are. They're easily – I've got 2 MVMT pairs. I've got the all-black ones because that's just a classic look. It's a look I'd been pining for ever since the first Men in Black came out. That's when I really got the sunglass bug.
Strong. I think after that movie came out, we went to like Washington, D.C. for a trip, and everybody bought like – knock off Tommy Hilfiger glasses off the street, and I don't think any of our glasses made it like back on the bus. They fell apart before then. But for those like 17 minutes walking around DC, cool as a cucumber.
Well, that's kind of the problem with the sunglass game. Either you buy like the real cheap shitty ones and they immediately fall apart, or you buy the super expensive ones and you're like, well, this wasn't worth it, or you lose them
or break them.
Correct. That's where our pals at MVMT come into the fray. These aren't plastic. They're acetate.
Yes.
You can get them polarized, and they start at just $70. These are 100% seriously my everyday, especially now that it's summertime and that bright mother sun is just blasting into my face. These are a daily wear for the McMahon.
Man, I've been wearing them in the comfort of my own home. They're that cool.
You know, a burglar breaks in, they're like, man, I can't rob this. This guy's too cool to be robbed.
He just closes the door, puts like $20 on the counter. I'm sorry for your troubles. You're just too cool.
MVMT, these are high quality premium acetate frames. No cheap plastic to be found around this way. You got to see these. They have a lot of styles to choose from. Classic, trendy, round, aviator, mirrored, polarized for him and also her.
I'm already thinking about my next pair, man. I think I want like the little the round circle, like the John Lennon shits. He just wasn't rocking them right.
No. Those can definitely be pulled off much better by your face.
Thanks, pal.
But no matter what you're into, you're sure to find the perfect pair. Get 15% off today with free shipping by going to MVMT.com/mixtape. You know MVMT for how they've revolutionized the watch industry. Now's the time to go check out their sunglasses. Join the movement today at MVMT.com/mixtape.
I will.
Good.
Thank you for telling me.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Drew's aim is slain, anything on his plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
Folks, it's finally the day that exactly 7 of you have been waiting for. Mm-hmm. It's the mixtape 50. I assume there are trumpets and things playing right now.
I would say, yeah, some fanfare right here would be incredible.
A lot of grandeur.
A little commotion. Not too much, but a little commotion.
How, before we fully get into it, how easy or difficult was this for you to put together?
Finding the actual 50 was a lot easier than I thought. Putting them in order was a lot harder than I thought.
Huh.
What about you?
The first 12 were very easy. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. I tried to do my top 10 first, like put that in order.
Mm-hmm.
We almost had to reverse engineer this whole list so that you can't really start at 50. Like you have to, right, like you said, get your 50 together. And so the top 10 were all like very obvious names to me. And then I hit a wall trying to like really think of some. And then another like 15 to 20 rolled off the tongue that were like, all right, yeah, these guys aren't top 10, but they're obviously going to make my list. And then the last, let me see. The last 9 were hard for me to get.
See that? I'm looking now. I feel like I honestly spent the most time on my 21 to 30. No, 11 to 20 and 21 to, those are, I was like, man, oh man. I don't know who's going. That's, I changed those around so many times.
See, I have my top 10 and then I have till 36 mapped out. Everyone else, I still need to, I'm glad we're doing just one of these a week because I definitely need the next 7 days to go through 40 through 31 and then 30 through 21. Because I think that's where the brick meets the pavement, the road meets the rubber. I don't know phrases that well.
It's where the brick is buttered, you idiot.
You're right. I don't know how I forgot that one.
How did you just like, did you look at the old list or did you just go off the top or how did you like start your list?
Like I said, I started with the top 10, which was like fairly easy. Like those 10 names, I assume we'll have the exact 10 names. We'll have 9 of the same 10. I'm not
correct.
Well, my number 10 might be different. You might not have them as high yet. That's a little teaser for the folks out there.
Ooh. Jaylen Brown.
Listen, I know it's a controversial pick, but
I've stepped out on faith before.
I was breaking it. I was breaking down his playoff numbers, and you won't believe where this guy ranks.
Oh boy!
And then I can't even remember your question. What did you ask?
I just asked how you did because I looked at the very first thing I did was look at the old 50, like from 1996. And I immediately crossed, like, wrote down every name that I knew wasn't going to make it. That was 22 names. So I was like, I've got 22 open names just off the rip.
Okay.
Then I started going, like, I list, like, the top 10, like, all the obvious names. Then I started going, like, I would just pick a position. and just list all those guys and then go through and look at them like, damn, okay, Chris Paul, Stockton, Gary Payton, Nat, like all those guys, like, okay. And then I just go position by position pretty much.
What I find is weird about this is it's mostly point guards and centers or big men.
Whole lot of them.
Yeah. There's like a handful of wing players. And let's not forget the most interesting interesting player for me for this entire list for both of us is the reason we're doing this. Where does Carmelo Anthony fall?
Are you asking me to spoil it now?
No. Not ask. No.
I was going to say, I've got some bad news.
Oh, wow. Did he not make your top 50?
My lips are sealed.
Well, I mean, if we get through, I'm not going to wait till like number three and be like, is Melo up it's, here? Like,
but yes, it's he's my number two. No, he did make my 50, barely.
Okay. All right, yeah, almost same. So we'll get into that. All right, so we'll hear the criteria. I think ours might be a little different criteria-wise, but it's mostly like, what were your accolades? What was your impact on the game? Are you super fucking famous because you played basketball? I factored all those things in. I didn't hold rings as a negative. So like LeBron being 3-6, you could only be like positively impacted by rings.
Yeah, I agree. It's like extra credit. I don't take it away from you, but if you have it, it does count.
And no future projection here. So if we did this list in 3 years, Steph Curry would be higher. Things like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else I put into. I do think like the lure around you, like the folklore, your legend. I think that matters.
See, I considered like some of that. I didn't too much consider like the fame part of it, but I did because it like your era, how. Like your peers regarded you, things like that.
Right. So like Tyler was at my apartment last week when we were recording, and we were just talking about like how older generations had talked to us about certain players, and that matters.
Yeah, definitely.
So number 50, do you want to kick it off?
Well, who's like your two or three toughest cuts or like honorable mention, or did you have any?
Well, it's funny. I was going to ask you this. Like I thought of that question for you earlier. I didn't really have, like, there were a lot of guys who I very much have enjoyed watching them play and I would consider them like personal favorites, but I wouldn't say they were tough cuts because I knew they belonged like, or I didn't think they belonged anywhere near this list. Sean Kemp, Kenyon Martin, right. Guys like that. Like I just knew like those are some of my favorite players, but no, like Rondo, like no, never was anywhere near it. I guess Rashid was probably my toughest cut because I hold him in such high regard. And I think his game would like, if he played today, I think he's locked for top 50. Just, right. I think his game was more suited. Like I imagine like a Brad Stevens or a Mike D'Antoni getting their hands on him and being like, no, this is how we're going to play with you. Forget about it. He'd be a lock for probably like top 25, but I can only base this off of what happened in the real world.
For shame. For shame. I went completely fantasy. No, I didn't. I had a few tough, cause there was one that as I was like finalizing my list, it was one person that I just forgot completely, and so I had to add him, and that bumped out Chris Webber, who I thought would be there.
Oh wow,
yeah, and I've been beating the Chris Webber drum for a while, so I was like, maybe there are a lot of good players in the NBA. I had to do some soul searching.
All right, I mean, if you just want to end this now before we get,
yeah, I'm just gonna lie off
two out of hand, and I will also say number 49 on my list does not belong here, he's here. For very good reason, and it's not for a reason you're thinking, but we'll get to it soon and very soon. Number 50, however, I should probably swap 50 and 49 now that I'm saying it out loud, but we both agreed number 50 should be close personal friend Spencer Haywood.
I did not have Spency. How are we doing, like 50-50, 49-49?
Yeah, probably, because like I was going to go over, like I wrote like blurbs, like everything they accomplished on here.
Okay. Yeah, so I didn't have Spency.
Spencer for, I mean, that's rude. Rude as hell, first of all.
That's my but,
I mean, I feel like it doesn't happen as much anymore, but about 5 years ago, you'd get during draft season, like, oh, this is a guy who's going to he's gonna be 20 and 10 every night. That's very rare. Like, right. There aren't many 20 and 10 guys.
They were said that about Bagley. They were like, both these guys could be 20 and 10 right away. I'm like, come on. Like, not that they can't talent-wise, but it's like, come on. That just doesn't happen like it used to.
No. For his career, 20.3, 10.3, and 1.1 blocks per game. He's a 5-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA. ABA MVP in his only season in the ABA, where he put up 30 and 19 and a half. He was an All-Star assists? Game. I didn't even write those down. No. I assume it was very few.
Double-double, yeah.
He's an All-Star MVP, and he's a known bag secure, which is another a qualification I put on my guys, at least, that he took that ABA check. Because it was that he didn't want to be picking cotton anymore.
He was literally tired of picking cotton.
Right. So Spencer Haywood forever will have a spot on my top 50.
I tried to eliminate personal bias. I just couldn't put him. Because then I'd have him 4. And then what? Then what?
You'd have a strong... I mean, how many other guys on this list are... I'm looking at other guys ahead of him. They didn't average 20 and 10.
It's true. They damn sure didn't do it in the ABA. Melo never played in the ABA.
Sure didn't.
Hmm.
So where would he have been for you? Like 57 or 60, somewhere around there?
Yeah, he was in that next cut.
Okay.
I wanted his prime to be longer than it was.
For sure. And I get that, but he had bags to secure and cocaine to snort. Like, coolness absolutely plays a factor, because there's a guy who I'm going to have definitely lower than you, it's not personal bias, but...
Oh, boy.
Like, if your teammates thought you suck, that has to be held against you.
Number 49, Bobby Portis.
Who's your number 50?
Now, my number 50 is someone that I was legitimately surprised made the cut. But after I, like, did my research, I was like, it would be disingenuous to leave him off. Florence Nightingale Cousy.
Wow.
Number 50.
That's shocking.
The accolade, 6 rings. He won an MVP, 13 All-Star games, 12 All-NBAs, 8 assist titles, and a college ring if you care about that. Like,
Oh, of course.
Yeah, like that's pretty good. If I just left that out altogether, that'd be blatant discrimination, which I'm not above, but not in this case.
Well, listen. If we were just going to sit here and list every Celtic, that would be on my list. So I limited myself to 3 guys that I would consider Celtics on this entire list.
I'm trying to see. I think I have 3 as well.
Well, that means, oh man, I already know who's not one of those 3. So that already anchors me.
Oh, that's a given.
That anchors me tremendously.
Good.
I don't have Havlicek. I don't have Cousy on my top 50.
I was very surprised. And believe you me, I was trying to find a way to split Cousy out.
Havlicek, I was trying to get on. Cousy, I wasn't as much. And like you said, very decorated player, as was Havlicek. And Havlicek was the one, like, he played in the 70s too, so I thought that would help his case. And guy had a hell of a career. I couldn't have, like, we would have, like, 7 Celtics on here, and I would just get screamed at from the mountaintops.
You get screamed at regardless, man.
For not having them on, I also will, correct?
Yep.
Who's your 49?
49, I had Ben Wallace.
Ooh, all right.
Ring, 4 All-Star games, 4 Defensive Player of the Years, like, 2 rebound titles, and, like, he had a 7-year run of basically just, like, 8 points, 13 boards, and just elite defense. I wanted to move him higher, but I was like, I couldn't justify it. But yeah, I got Ben Wallace 49.
We'll talk some Ben Wallace in a little bit.
Oh,
my 49, I know you don't have him on yours, but for true mixtape fans out there, I couldn't have my top 50 and not have this man represented. Fat Lever.
Oh boy. Yeah, that was another one. I was like, I can't. I was like, they would just say, oh, you just put him on there. But I did consider the Fat Man.
I did. And two-time All-Star. One All-NBA. One All-Defense. Where I think a lot of people would be shocked to find out, his 2.2 steals per game is the sixth highest all-time.
Oh, yeah. That was something I found. I was like, wait. I was like, is this? Did I click the wrong button?
So the Fat Man was every day just in your shirt. And most of the people on my list are stout defenders. This,
oh, boy.
Should surprise no one.
Oh, boy.
I was under the impression we were both going to put Spencer at 50 and just basically make this a top 49.
No, yeah, so that's on me because I completely forgot about that.
So I would probably swap Fat Lever and Spence.
Fair.
But we're here now.
Yeah, what can you do? It's been written in pencil. There's nothing we can do.
He's he was basically 14, 6-6, and two steals a night, which...
And a triple-double machine.
Yeah, I mean, I would take that guy on my team every day of the week. Just running my offense, 14, 6-6. That's about as well-rounded as you can get. And the 2.2 steals. Again, only five other people have had a higher average throughout their career. Fat Man's got a spot on my top 50. Again, much like Spencer, until I'm dead.
Fair. More than fair.
My 48, however, I'm interested to see if he made your list. Because this is a guy I loved. And I think a guy who could have played in absolutely any era and would have been just as effective and dominant, Sean Marion.
Hmm. He's not on my list, but that's a good call.
15.2 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, only 1.9 assists, but 1.5 steals and also 1.1 blocks. That's his career. So he was as much of a stat stuffer as you'll see. Four-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA, two-time Player of the Month, NBA champ. In 20 games during the 2006 playoffs, Sean Marion averaged 20.4, 11.7, 1.6, 1.9, 1.2. And here's since this is the top 50 and we took it very seriously, all the stats we make fun of are now going to come into play because we're forming a full argument. We're not just cherry-picking them.
Correct. Well, I'll speak for yourself, but yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Only 27 players in NBA history have had a higher career VORP. He is the 28th most valuable over replacement player of all time.
That's a good stat. There was I'm trying to find it now. I can't, but they're like, it's like five people with, I think, like 17,000 points, 10,000 boards, like 2,000 assists, 1,500 steals and blocks apiece. And it's like,
right.
It's like Hakeem, David Robinson, like a couple elite names.
LeBron.
And, yeah, and like either Sean Marion either like just made it or he's like just short of it. Because
I would imagine he...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine he just made it because he played for a long-ass time.
That's, I think so. He doesn't have any all-defensive, which doesn't feel like his fault. That just feels like an incredible oversight. Like he
here's one
none?
Thing. Here's one thing I'll say about that. All the accolades I'm only using as positives because some of those accolades... Like, there were a lot of guys, or at least a couple, who won Defensive Player of the Year, and then they were second-team all-defense. Like, I can't hold media stupidity against some of these guys. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he had a couple, but none is, I think, like, both baffling and it's like, damn.
Well, I think people just, like, the common thread back then was like, oh, those Suns teams don't play defense. So it really didn't matter what he did. The Suns were just going to be that stigma against him, and that's where he played the prime of his career.
Oh, no, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, I see it. It's just like, because I know their team defenses were probably rated horribly, but I know his individual
right.
defense, and there's no stat for that yet, so.
No, sadly. Who's your number 48 all time?
Let's see. My number 48 is Carmelo Anthony.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a close call. Like, he started at, like, 42. And I gradually had to drop him, and he almost got dropped out, but like 10 All-Star games, 6 All-NBAs, scoring title, college ring, 4 medals. He's top 20 in points right now. And if he has 2 more years like the stinker he just had, he's in the top 10 comfortably. So I like, this was the whole point, and I stand by it. I think Carmelo Anthony is one of the 50 best players of all time.
We'll have some more mellow chatter.
Oh boy.
But I agree with you. I always agree with you.
Like a lid on a bottle? What is that noise?
Yeah, it was. I don't know why that's getting picked up. It's very annoying. but I do agree. I agreed with you then. I agreed with you after this exercise. He's a top 50 player.
Yeah, if we're including everything, which I feel like everybody else gets that benefit of the doubt, then I don't see how he's not. I get his limitations, his faults, but top 50? I feel like it. Like, if again, in 2 years, if he's top 10 all time in scoring, you're not gonna tell me he was one of the top 50 players of all time.
Like, and nah. I think I think all of these players, even when we get to number one, they'll have limitations. So I don't. It's like what. What did you do really well, and did you do it better than your contemporaries? How do your contemporaries view what you did? And Melo's one of those guys who I think the rest of the league really fucks with.
Yeah, heavily. Agents do too.
You're number 47.
47 is Clyde Frazier.
Ooh.
Like, I went between he and Earl the Pearl. I was like, if there's room for both. But yeah, Earl the Pearl, his was injuries, which sucks because it's not his fault. But I read, like, basically just playing that well on playground for that long just wrecked his knees. So he didn't have a long run in the NBA. But yeah, Clyde Frazier, 2 rings, 7 All-Star games, 6 All-NBAs, and 7 All-Defensive First Teams. So I feels like, I was like, that's slightly better than Carmelo Anthony in a different era.
I didn't know about his – so did Monroe make your team or no? Or your top 50 or no?
No, Monroe did not make it.
He made it for me. We'll talk about it when we get to it, but
– did Clyde make your list?
He did not. I was of the same thought as you. Like, I'm going to put one of them on here, the other one probably not. The all-defense – the 7 first-team all-defenses is strong, though.
No, yeah. Like, they were apparently just locking down. – And Clyde Frazier was also apparently just, he and Joe Namath were just fucking everything that moved back in like 1970s New York. And Clyde is from Atlanta, so he gets the nod. Sorry, Earl.
All right. No, that's more than fair. I'm glad we'll both have one represented. But yeah, that was one thing we talked about too. I don't know if we ever said it on the show. I don't know how much overlap we're going to have, especially I don't know if we're going to have more than like 3 on the exact same number. Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. So it's and we're gonna end up with probably, I would guess, like 75 total players, which I'm cool with. I think there are a lot of fucking really talented guys who have an argument at least to be in the top 50.
Yeah, I think we're coming up on year 75 of the NBA. We picked the top 50, and overall we'll have 75 for 75.
Yeah, when we do we'll do a top 75 when that comes, which will be a lot easier that we already have 50 and we'll just be able to slide guys around. You said that was, what, 2 years from now?
Yes.
Yeah, and then a lot of guys will probably move up just because they'll have two, like Durant will have 2 more rings, Curry will have 2 more rings. My number 47, who probably didn't, I would guess, didn't make your list because I think it would have come by now.
Hey now.
I have Dikembe Mutombo.
Hmm.
9.8.
We'll get to Dikembe.
Will we?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. All right. My apologies to you.
For shame.
9.8 points per game, 10.3 rebounds per game, 2.8 blocks per game, 8-time All-Star, 2-time rebounding champ, 3-time block champ, 3-time All-NBA. 6-time All-Defense, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, 2-time Citizenship Award, NCAA All-American, 11th all-time in offensive rebounds, 12th all-time in defensive rebounds,
20th all-time in just rebounds, second all-time in blocks, and I think this will surprise some people. He made over $143 million during his NBA career.
Wow.
I mean, hell of a career all around, I'd argue.
And I met him at the airport, and he was very nice. I factored that in.
Yeah, I met Manute Bol once, and he was a huge prick, so that factors
that
in.
That stinks.
Just
slap your autograph book away?
No, it was at... So there's a spot in the garden, like a restaurant. I actually don't know if it's still there. I'm sure it is. But it's a restaurant for like season ticket holders, I think, are the only people who can get access to it.
Mm.
So we had season tickets once in my life. It was a tremendous, it was the year before, I don't know, it must've been younger. One time after a game, Manute Bol was in there. And he had signed autographs for, like, literally everyone who was in there. And I showed up, like, 5 minutes, I guess, after he stopped signing autographs. But my waitress was like, nah, he was just signing them for everyone. Go up and ask him. And so I went up. I was very polite. I was like, Mr. Bol, nice to meet you. I would love to get your autograph. And he was just like, ugh, where were you 10 minutes ago, kid? Like, what? I was like, dude, you could just say no, or just like it's going to take 2 seconds. Like, he wasn't eating a meal. Like, I wasn't interrupting him that way because that's real dickheadish. I would have been in the wrong there. Just didn't care for his tone.
So did you get the autograph or no?
I did.
You should have threw it in his face. Or his waist, maybe. Yeah.
He's a very large man. But... I'm glad we both have Dikembe on here. I don't think a lot of people would immediately look at him and be like, yeah, that's top 50. But, I mean, hell of a very decorated career. It was a big deal when Jordan dunked on him. Like, right. That's an iconic play just because, like, oh, wow, someone actually scored on this guy. Like, that matters.
Oh, yeah. Like, the whole, people still do the finger wag. Like, that's...
Correct.
That's forever.
But we'll talk a little bit more about Dikembe when we get to him on yours. My number 46, one of my favorite current players. I think this is the first current guy on my list. Yep. One of my favorite current players, just high as a kite at all hours of the day. Klay Thompson. 19.2 points per game. Really doesn't do anything else. 3.4 rebounds, 2.3 assists. He's already a four. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, he's enough. Like, I don't think he's made any all defensive teams to like Marion, but it's like everybody's correct. Like, no, Klay Thompson's a really good defender.
Listen, no one puts clamps on Kyrie except Klay Thompson. It's the craziest thing that he does not make any all defensive teams.
He's literally too fundamentally sound.
Four-time All-Star, two-time All NBA, three-time champ, career 42.2% from three. I'm sure he's working his hardest to shave that 0.2 off of it. A nice 420 would be ideal.
Now, if he ever gets that, he just retires like on the court.
Well, here's the thing: he's 11th all time at 42.2, and he takes 6.9 attempts per game. So he's real close.
Delete this, man. Klay might hear this and just retire like on the spot. He just retires at 27. It was like, it was too sweet.
He's already 24th and made threes and 41st in attempts. So there were a lot of guys I saw that were like neck and neck in those. He's comfortably hitting a lot more than he's taking. And with two more average seasons, again, I would have him on here without that. But with two more average seasons, he'll be comfortably in the top 10 in made threes. With three more average seasons, he'll be in the top five.
Yeah, I didn't have him on my list, but it is one of those, like, if we did it again in 2 or 3 years, he'd absolutely be there. Like, just on this trajectory, I just didn't have him there yet.
Listen, a guy who scores 20 and is automatic from three, that's a top. And, with his lockdown defense, to me, I don't know if I could name, like, there are probably... Like, Frazier had, a more decorated career with all those all defenses. I'm not 100% sure he plays as good a defense as Klay just because he has all of those. And he wasn't a dead-eye shooter. So that's where it's like, I don't know if I've seen 50 better careers already with just what he's shown.
Yeah, again, I don't hate, like, I've... I think it was a couple of years ago, I was like, yeah, he's the second best shooter of all time. And people were like, not even Ray Allen? No. I think it's Clay. Like, on, like the fastest threes made, I know, I think Lillard either topped him or might have. I was like, I get it if you want to take his, like, create for himself and off the catch threes. I don't think they're not two better shooters to me than Klay Thompson. He's also very durable.
Super durable.
Remarkably durable, which is a good thing.
And again, high as a kite, which I absolutely factor in.
Another good thing.
Who was your number 46?
46, I had another, like a defensive run here, Dennis Rodman.
Ooh.
Dennis Rodman was the one where I got to the end and I forgot. And I was like, no, he's like, somebody's got to go because he's in there somewhere.
Interesting. It's interesting you got Chris Webber off for Dennis Rodman.
Man, oh man. And I loved Chris Webber. But yeah, like Robin won, he had 5 rings, which I don't think I realized, in six tries. Like 2 All-Stars, 2 All-NBA, 2 Defensive Player of the Year, 8 All-Defenses, 7 rebounding titles.
And 7 straight.
Yeah, 7 straight. He had a 10-year run of basically 8 points, 14 boards, and shot 52% too. So it wasn't like he was like Ben Wallace.
Right.
And like in his, I think he had like a 3-year run. He was averaging like 18 boards a game. Like something stupid. Just something absurd. Just a wildly unique player. And yeah, 46.
We'll talk a little bit more about Dennis Rodman in a minute, but I agree he's top 50. 1,000%.
Yeah, like I was going off like the other lists, like people did updated lists, and that's how I was compiling all my names. And I don't know what made me think. I must have been looking like, I don't know. I have no idea. And I was like, yeah, Dennis Rodman is a top 50 player.
Dennis Rodman was the 15th name I wrote down.
Fair. And like, as I looked at it, I was like, he might could be higher. I was like, I can't wait till like 3 years. I'm going to be like, no, actually rebounding is more important than points. It's gonna be like, Dennis Rodman is the best player ever.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't disagree. Again, we'll talk to him a little bit more. Who's your number 45?
45, that's where I had Dikembe.
Okay. So like, do you have any other Dikembe stats?
No, not other than the ones you listed.
You met him at an airport?
I did meet him at an airport. He was a very tall man and a very polite person.
Seems to be almost too polite because he got conned out of all that money. That was not his fault.
And even then, he was still taking it back to the motherland to help the folks.
Right. So my 45, you can prepare to be mad.
Oh, boy. I'm already laid on me.
A guy I'm sure you have like 28th.
I know where this is going.
He, for his career, averages 17.4, 12.7, 0.9 steals and 2 blocks per game. He's an 8-time All-Star.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're getting at.
A 5-time rebounding champ, 2-time block champ, 8-time All-NBA, 5-time All-Defense, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 6-time Player of the Month, a McDonald's All-American. It's maybe the worst teammate in NBA history, Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Spoiler, I've got him right ahead of Mutombo.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I wasn't right sure. All
right. No, again, so I would love to leave him off, but I was like, no, I won't be biased in this.
No, listen, what are the all-time talents and the best big man of a decade? That gets you on this list. He should be higher, though. And that's not like, I'm not one of those people like, oh, he should have learned how to take a hook shot. No, the fact that he's on his, what, 4th team in 4 years and about to be his 5th team in 4 years because the team that traded for him just immediately cut him. When he still has good basketball left in him, that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. It's not great. I wanted to bump him up because like, he should have the 4 Defensive Player of the Years and doesn't, but then, yeah, I knocked him down for all those same things. Like, he's basically just doing all his career averages, and I shows no sign. Like, the last couple of years, it showed no sign of slowing down physically. Like, I think this is just him now, and people are just like, I'm good.
He's taken the 9th most free throw attempts,
He's 12th in offensive rebounds, 8th in defensive rebounds, 14th overall in rebounds, 17th overall in blocks. He's got the 4th highest career field goal percentage. He's got the 31st best defensive rating of all time. He's 15th in defensive win shares. He's 4th in rebound percentage. Like, he's had a hell of a career. So the people, the idiots who don't even think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, those people are couldn't be more incorrect if they've tried. However, the fact that he's not, he should be probably what, like I was saying, like in the late 20s, early 30s, that's where he probably should be. But him being such a monumental dickhead and just apparently you cannot, like, I could see if Kobe was the only person who didn't want to play with him, that I wouldn't hold against anyone. Right. When the Charlotte Hornets don't want to play with you, that's a problem.
It's like Van Gundy was bad, then Kobe was bad, then Harden was bad, then the Hawks were bad. Charlotte was bad. Then Brooklyn was like, no, thanks. I honestly, I thought he would be higher. I like 8 All-Star games and 8 All-NBAs felt low to me. Maybe not the All-NBAs, but I did think he had more All-Star games. But, yeah, like he made his last All-Star game in 2014, and I can't see him making another one. Like,
no, sure can't.
Like, no matter, like, he might do the numbers for it, but I just can't see him getting voted in. So it probably ends at that. He's going to be have, like, 8 All-Star games but retire. Second all-time in rebounds.
Well, what can you do?
Hate to see it.
My number 44 is a guy you already mentioned, Ben Wallace.
I like the defensive love being shown here.
Of course. I mean, you already ran down pretty much all the numbers. He was a one-time player of the month. You didn't have that one.
I didn't. That's a missed that blip on the radar.
He's 16th all-time in offensive rebounds, 24th all-time in defensive rebounds. I like seeing, like, top 25 all-time stats like that, especially stats they've counted since the beginning, unlike blocks, which they started counting, like, last year.
Yeah. Anthony Davis is the all-time leader in block shot.
Ben Wallace is 13th all-time in blocks, 24th in blocks per game. He's right behind Dwight. It's literally 1.98 blocks per game versus 1.96. It's that close between the two of them.
You talk about two guys who could not have been more different.
And Ben Wallace also has a higher career VORP than Dwight Howard. His is 40. He's 34th all time in VORP. Ben Wallace. There have only been 33 more valuable players according to VORP than Ben Wallace.
That's tremendous. This is so great. Because everybody thinks Dwight Howard is Ben Wallace offensively. Like, that's what they think Dwight Howard is. He's like, and turns around and throws the ball over the backboard and scores his 3 points a game.
Because Dwight Howard is 31st all time in defensive rating, 99.47. Ben Wallace is 5th.
Dwight should have an MVP too, but that's a different story.
We know. Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, Ben Wallace, only 4 people who have had a higher defensive rating than, and it's like Duncan and guys like that.
That's pretty good because he got a slow start, and I feel like his, like after like the first or second year in Chicago, it went downhill. So for him to be that high, that's a damn good run.
14th all-time defensive win shares. So he had himself quite the run. That's what allowed me to put him ahead of Dwight Howard. And people genuinely like playing with Ben Wallace because they were like, yeah, this guy wears fucking headbands around his bicep. Like, I'm not going to – that's a guy I want on my side.
Oh, that's what I was saying. Like, it could not be, like, 2 more different guys. Like, everybody liked Ben Wallace. They wanted him to stay forever. Like, he left for Chicago for the bag and nobody was mad. It's like, no, go get money.
Correct.
Everybody's mad at Dwight no matter what he does.
Who is your number 44 all time?
Well, that was Dwight.
Oh, so I'm going twice here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. My number 43, a guy who I know didn't make your list because you already brought him up. I hold him in such high reverence for, I don't know, maybe it's because of the amount of jerseys I still see people wearing of his. Maybe it's those early 2000s battles against the Lakers. Maybe it's just he was one of the most iconic like college basketball players and one of the most widely respected high school basketball prospects of all time, Chris Webber.
Yeah, he was in that mix too. And like when guys, more research was done, I just bumped him out. Like I, like five All-Star games, five All-NBA. I believe they were all consecutive, but it's just not a long enough run.
I think four were consecutive, and then for some reason there's a gap, and then he gets that last one.
Yeah, I'll probably get it.
For his career, he was 20.7, 9.8, and 4.2. Which,
single double.
Yeah. McDonald's All-American. The first McDonald's – oh, no, the second, Dwight Howard. NCAA AP All-American. 49th all-time in points per game, which I don't feel is insignificant.
No, not at all. He was also – I'm looking at, like, he, once the knees had gone, he was still productive. Like, he had, he averaged 20 and 10 in Philly, like, with no knees, just because he was just that skilled.
1.4 blocks per game and 69th all time. 46th all time defensive rating, 37th VORP, and, like I say here, one of the best high school prospects of all time. Like, why, it's like him, Kareem, LeBron, like those are the three names I consistently hear for just the best coming out of high school prospects, can't miss guys ever, and that to me that matters.
Yeah, the one that I wanted to give it to him, but I just couldn't. Like Chris Webber, like he should have a ring. He was literally cheated out of a ring.
Yeah,
like if that was the finals, and they got cheated like that, I'd give it to him. But because it was another round, I think they would have demolished the Nets, but we'll never know. But yes, he was literally cheated out of a ring. Legally and cheated.
And I know we've mentioned it here before, but it was impossible to win a road game in Sacramento when he was a king. It was the toughest place. Man. It was impossible. Like you just were like, oh, we got the Kings. That's a loss. Like that's just what it was.
Which is so like, if you're trying to imagine trying to explain that to somebody that's like 15 now. Like, no. You're like, yeah, okay. The guys in purple. I'm like, no, they used to be really good, dude, and fun
to
watch
too. Black. Yeah, they used to wear black. They had Peja. He would just smoke cigarettes and wet threes. It was incredible.
Like, yeah, all right, old man.
Who is your? I get not having him in your top 50. I get hearing him talk every Thursday definitely takes away from his legacy, but I couldn't do it.
I respect it.
Who is your number 43?
43, I had Grant Hill.
Ooh, all right.
Did you have him, or you had him higher?
Oh, much higher.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I won. Like, he, I mean, as is, like, gold medal, couple college titles, seven All-Star games, five All-NBA, and another guy that, like, turned himself into a productive player after the injuries just took literally everything from him.
Ravaged his body.
Oh, boy. Oh, don't I know it. Watched it up close and personal. But... like, the peak was there. The peak was enough to get him on this list. I didn't feel like I could justify putting him that much higher. Like, I could have got him into, like, the late 30s, but I was like, this feels okay. This feels right.
Yeah, so with guys with injuries like that, I tend to hold their peak in, like, to me that matters more. Like, all right, I can see where this was going. And every time, like, for LeBron's first like 10 years, every time he hit a mark, the other name that was always there without fail was Grant Hill.
Right.
So to me, he was just the original LeBron, and LeBron just doesn't get injured. He doesn't know how. So that's where their careers split, is Grant Hill got hurt. LeBron doesn't know how to. So I definitely
Grant Hill's too smart, man. Duke guy.
He is.
Learn how to get injured.
But Grant Hill for sure, a top 50 player of all time.
Agreed.
You're 42?
42. I did find a way to slip the man in there. John Havlicek.
Wow.
Again,
wait a minute.
The resume.
Wait a minute. You say you had three Celtics on your list?
That's correct. I think so.
There better be four, because there are two that you have not mentioned yet, and I'm not even talking Paul Pierce.
Hmm. Let's see. No, I've got four. I've got four.
Okay. All right. I almost shut my laptop. All right.
You love Kendrick Perkins. We get it.
Yeah, look. I mean, who else has made that many finals in a row? You tell me, Withers.
Havlicek, that's who. No, he's got eight. He's got the most rings with no losses. I was like, that's pretty good. 8 rings and 8 tries. Finals MVP, 13 All-Star games, 11 All-NBAs, 8 All-Defenses. I got to have Hondo in there, man.
That's pretty good, he says.
8 and 8. I'd take it, you know. What do you think Jerry West would give up to go for 8 and 8 in rings?
He would trade so much of his life.
I think he'd trade body parts.
Part of the reason I'm low on Hondo is because Bob Ryan still to this day thinks he's the best two-way player of all time. So people like that I need to stick it to and keep them off my personal top 50 list. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much more decorated than John Havlicek in terms of career accomplishments and what they were able to do on a court.
Yeah, like some of it was like maybe it was right place, right time. Yeah, be like that sometimes. He benefited. Yeah, what can you do?
It sure does.
Yeah, like a lot of people, he wasn't the only wing on that team, but he was the only one that went 8 for 8.
Correct. So, yeah, John Havlicek, Bob Cousy, all-time players that – and Havlicek played mostly in the 70s. Cousy was there before Russell.
Yuck.
Yeah, Cousy never had a shot to make my list. Havlicek was probably the second toughest omission, but again – I'm glad you have 4 Celtics on there because I could only have a max 3, and I specifically had to put 1 on because I knew you wouldn't. So I'm glad those two have made at least the conversation. I'm shocked you have either of them, quite frankly.
Same, to be quite honest.
My number 42 was technically a Celtic, not a player anyone like considers a Celtic, specifically Celtics fans. That's Ray Allen.
I have Ray Allen higher.
Okay. 18.9 points per game, which was a little lower than I would have guessed just because he was the number one option for so many years in Milwaukee and Seattle.
Yeah.
But 18.9, so that's lower than Clay. I almost had Clay above him, but not yet. Soon.
Yeah, that like next year.
18.9, 4.1, 3.4, which is almost exactly Clay's. 10-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA, 2-time NBA champ, including one of the more iconic threes in NBA history. 2-time NCAA AP All-American. First all-time in made threes, obviously. 48th in steals, which is something I didn't quite know.
Lockdown defender Walter Ray Allen.
24th all-time in points. 43rd all-time in three-point percentage, which feels just painfully low. He's at 40% on the dot. 4-0.
That's like Judd Buechler's probably ahead of him on like one attempt a game.
7th all-time in free-throw percentage. 17th in offensive win shares. 26th in win shares. And 23rd in VORP.
You know what I love about Ray Allen?
What's that?
His DM game. No. When he was 30, correct, he took his career high in threes, 8.4 a game, and made 41% of them. And after that, the attempts went down. I just feel like a coach was like, Ray, that's not it, baby.
It's Doc. It's probably Doc Rivers.
Let's see. No, he was still in Seattle then. He averaged 25 points a game that year and 26 the next. Those are the only two times he ever took more than 8 threes a game. And I bet – like Wesley Johnson or somebody took like 8 threes a game this year, I bet.
Listen, Ray Allen should have been taking like 14 threes a game in Boston. I don't know what was happening there.
That's what I'm saying. The numbers went down. I have no idea why. That's what I'm looking. Okay, yeah. This year alone, Wayne Ellington took 7.5 threes a game. Just for some scale.
All right, number 42 on my list, no longer Ray Allen. Wayne Ellington.
Oh, boy. hit a higher percentage of them. Is this something to consider?
Yeah, listen, we're here to deal with the facts and the facts only.
Correct.
But my 41 all-time, a player I've long, long revered, my AAU coach, who was hugely influential to me, he told me this guy, every time he came to Boston as a visiting player, would go to Toys R Us, which, rest in peace, Toys R Us.
Yes.
But he would go to Toys R Us, and he would clear the place out, he'd go to Children's Hospital and he'd spend all day there just handing out toys, hanging out with very sick kids. And now he's bringing the world peace by bringing America and North Korea together. It's Dennis Rodman.
I did not know that about the Children's Hospital. I could see that. That seems like a very Rodman thing to do.
Correct.
I did not know that.
My AAU coach was a narcotics officer, too, so he would have known stories like that. Oh, yeah. He used to – if he knew we had a bad ref slate coming up, he would just coach in his uniform, like, with his gun out. It was the funniest thing. Easily the coolest cop I've ever met in my life. By far. No close second.
Faint praise.
Correct. But for him, he's the man.
Fair.
But Dennis Rodman, I mean, you kind of went through everything, but he also has a Player of the Month award. I love these guys who got it just once. Like, I want to know what happened in those months. Like, not even stats-wise, but it's almost like the writers were like, yeah, let's give it to Rodman this month.
Yeah, Jordan just had a bum ankle. Ewing was out the entire series.
But fourth all-time in offensive rebounding, which is just ridiculous hustle. And I guess it wasn't even technically hustle for him. He, from what urban legend is, or I guess he's been quoted on it too, so it's not even technically urban legend, but he could just watch the rotations of the laces on the ball and just know where the rebound was going and just beat. Since he was like 6'4", 6'5", I know he's listed at 6'7". He is not.
Yeah, no, that guy was like 6'6", 215 tops. He's the size of Alan Crabb out there grabbing like 19 boards a game.
Yeah, he used to just watch the laces on the ball and be able to, oh, no, this is going to the left. This is going to the right. And he would just beat your ass to the spot and get the ball. And an incredibly – like, because I was trying to get Draymond on this list.
Oh, boy, they wouldn't have liked that at all.
No, I mean, his numbers are wildly unimpressive. I like Draymond.
That's the thing, the eye test is not going to get it done for Draymond.
No, his numbers stink, and I was trying to compare him to Rodman. Like, Rodman at least, like, A, he started off in Detroit, like, as the wing defender, which remains wild, and then transitioned to this just power forward behemoth in Chicago. Like I said, seven straight leading the league in rebounds when everyone else was like Olajuwon, Ewing, Shaq, right. Just massive human beings. And he was like, no, I think I'm going to be better than all of you at this.
Yeah, I'll have 18 or so of those.
I remember an old Wilt and Bill Russell interview where they were sitting together, and Sports Illustrated, I think, on their cover did a story on Dennis Rodman, and they called him the best rebounder of all time. And you'll never believe this, but these old NBA players didn't agree.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, look, I get, like, Russell averaged, like, 25 or some shit, and Wilt averaged, like, 21. Like, I get that. They were also covering each other or no one at all. So
right.
when Rodman's doing it, A, seven straight years, which neither of them did, and B, against seven-foot humans in an era where centers were dominating, yeah, I'm probably going to lead Rodman on this. And also, his 23.4 rebound percentage – is number one all time. His 17.2 offensive rebound percentage, number one all time. Jesus. His 29.6 defensive rebound percentage, number two all time. So, yeah, I think he's got as good of a case as anyone. He's the best rebounder of all time.
Just 17, yeah, so just one out of, like, every five, he's just grabbing the offensive board. You're just counting those possessions. Oh, yeah, we'll get another six possessions a day just because of Dennis. So don't you let me worry about those.
11th all time in rebounds per game. He's got the 36th best defensive rating, the 36th best defensive win share, 65th best VORP of all time. So, yeah, if you have a top 50 list out there and you don't have Dennis Rodman on there he wasn't an offensive threat, but he's also the opposite of Dwight. I've never heard any of his teammates say he didn't. Like, that seems like a guy everyone's like, no, I need that guy on my team.
Well, I mean, I think it was like he was – from what I hear, it was like he was crazy, but – with who he respected. Like, he was great. His numbers retired by Detroit, which I didn't know. Like, that's – like, Detroit has won multiple championships. Like, that's a good franchise to have your number retired by. And Like, he respected Isaiah and Chuck Daly and all those guys. Then went to San Antonio and was like, no, fuck you, David Robinson. And then went back to, then went to Chicago and was like, okay, I respect these guys, and won 3 more rings.
He also dated Prime Madonna. There's
Carmen,
like, a
Electra
made
too.
Correct, Carmen Electra. There's like a made, I think it was made for TV, Dennis Rodman like biopic that I stumbled upon once on like Showtime one after like one summer afternoon, and it was the most interesting 2 hours I've ever spent in my life. Like, it's a terrible movie, but yeah, it's just so fucking interesting because I think he was like, yeah, tell it all. Like, he drove to a parking lot one day while with a shotgun, and it was like he wanted to kill himself, and like I think one of his teammates or the cops stumbled upon him and talked him out of it. It was like, it's, I need to find out what it's called because it's, I need to rewatch that. Maybe that's something we do as a live watch soon.
The Dennis Rodman story.
Yeah, because it was fucking, I feel like he jumps in every once in a while to like talk about what was breaking. Like, I might be making that up, but I feel like I remember an all black room with like a stool and a spotlight on Dennis Rodman. But yeah, it was wild. One of the a guy who's painted as a crazy guy. That's why I wanted to lead with the Children's Hospital thing. So I fucking love Dennis Rodman.
Pretty good. Like, I'm looking, he won 2 Defensive Player of the Years back to back. Like, one of which for a championship team. And this is, like, again, in, like, the Jordan Magic era. He never averaged a steal or a block a game, ever.
Right.
And won 2 defensive, like, that's what kind of locking up and moving his feet and taking charges and shit he was doing.
Well, it was, like, 0.8 and 0.9 or something like that, or 0.7.
Yeah, 0.8 steals, 0.7 blocks. Next year, bumped it up to 0.8 steals and 0.9 blocks. Was also, like, was averaging, like, 2-3 assists a game at the end of his career. So, like, not a completely offensive minus. But, yeah, I agree. He also started his career when he was 25, so I never would have drafted him, but I'm glad he got a shot.
Oh, yeah. No, they go through that, too. Because where did he go? To Western...
like, this is Southwest, like, Oklahoma?
Yeah, that's what it was, Southwest Oklahoma. That coach scouted him... literally, according to his own movie, scouted him playing on like a playground because his mother like called up the coach and was like, no, you gotta go watch my son. And the guy was like, yeah, whatever you say, lady. And he was just giving hell to these kids because in college he averaged like 25 a game, like, which is wild.
Oh yeah, over 3 years, like, just giving everybody I think Bruce Bowen did too. Bruce Bowen averaged like 28 a game in college.
I can see that. But yeah, I mean, a very defensive first 10 for me, with Ray Allen being the one guy who isn't like a true defender, but even he, again, 49th all time or 48th all time in steals. But yeah, Dennis Rodman rounds out my top 50 through 41. So, but who's your number 41?
My 41 is Clyde Drexler.
Okay.
He's somebody that I honestly thought would be higher, really. Like, a ring, 10 All-Star games, only 5 All-NBAs, which, not great, but he was making, like, he made first team, like, during Jordan's peak. He made the finals twice during the Jordan era, so that counts for something, even if, like, all the accolades weren't there. Because it feels like he was pretty much consensus. Like, if you're the second best shooting guard in the league after maybe the best player of all time, that's pretty good. But,
well, one of those finals was with Houston, right?
One of Drexler's?
He made
it with Portland twice. They just lost. Then he made it with Houston and won.
Jordan didn't play Portland twice.
Wait, what? I'm talking about Drexler. Who played for Portland?
Yeah, you said he made the finals twice during the Jordan era. Oh, so before Jordan made it, you're saying. Got it. Never mind.
I want to say 89 and 91. Yeah, that was the 6-3s. He played. That was the team he beat.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was just for some reason, but in my mind, when I think Jordan era, I think like the 6 he won, but he obviously played much longer than that, so that's incorrect.
Gotcha. Yeah, one he took like straight on the chin, which again, you lose to the greatest player maybe of all time in the finals. I can't knock you for that, but 5 All-NBAs. and no all defensive teams was shocking to see. It's why I couldn't have him higher, or why I didn't put him higher.
Yeah, Drexler just missed my list. Because honestly, when I looked at everything he'd done, I thought he was a little bit more well-rounded or had like more accolades. Like, and he was on the Dream Team, obviously, which means a ton. I think if he just shaves his head, he's probably like 38th on my list. But
oh, he's not having that. I'd put top 15.
That's what I mean. Not having that awareness is a big time red flag on this end.
Yeah, I think. And then it's like the story, like the Dream Team where Jordan was in his head so bad he like put on like two left shoes in practice and just played through it. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just played with him on anyway because he didn't want Jordan to laugh at him. I was like, man, oh man, you're not getting in my top 40 with that on the resume.
No, that's, I mean, Jordan was just a menace, apparently.
Yes, an absolute maniac.
So my 50 through 41 again, Spencer Haywood, Fat Lever, Sean Marion, Dikembe Mutombo, Klay Thompson, Dwight Howard, Ben Wallace, Chris Webber, Ray Allen, and Dennis Rodman.
Pretty good. So we had, let's see, 1, 2, 3. We have 4 overlap just within that. That's not bad.
Yeah, not at the same spot.
Yeah, exact spot, but yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. What was your full again?
I had 50 to 41, Bob Cousy, Ben Wallace, Carmelo Anthony, Walt Frazier, Dennis Rodman, Dikembe Mutombo, Dwight Howard, Grant Hill, Hondo Havlicek, and Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, with hilarious that the first two Celtics come from you.
Paola.
Do you have Ray Allen on yours at all?
Yeah, he's higher up.
Okay. All right, so that's going to be the interesting where I have Ray Allen here, but then I have Grant Hill a little bit higher. I wasn't sure Mutombo was going to make yours. I knew Dwight was going to make yours.
For sure. Hey, man, Mutombo's got two of the all-time jerseys.
The throwback, not incorrect.
Hawks, the black and red Hawks, and also the version of those old Nuggets.
Correct, yeah. And pulled off 55, which is a number not any old person can wear. And that was another feather in Dennis Rodman's cap as well. He could wear any fucking number. It didn't matter.
Yeah. Like, Artest tried, and he didn't pull it off as well.
No, but he was the closest, I'd argue. Because you saw Doncic's going to wear 77 still?
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's troublesome. That's Bargnani all over again, I'd argue.
That's Joe Thomas. That's fucking left guard.
But, yeah, you had Melo. That's coming up real soon for me.
Oh, boy. That's what we call a tease.
It sure is. And, yeah, we had a decent amount of old-timers so far. You didn't have any current players.
Melo.
All right, yeah.
And Dwight.
Like I said, you didn't have any current players.
Yeah, Melo and Dwight.
Melo's good.
They're on rosters, one of them.
Yeah, Dwight is not.
I don't know for how long. Like, they might buy out Carmelo any day, but technically.
Yeah, both of those guys may be done, actually, now that we're talking about
Could
it.
Could be. That's what I'm saying. Like, Carmelo's at least doing this year for that $28 million. But, yeah, I was like, maybe he doesn't get those two more years. Maybe after this, nobody wants Dwight. So this very well could be the highest they ever be on this list.
Or Dwight's just going to go to the Warriors and win like 3 rings, and that'll be that.
And Melo just goes to tag on LeBron. He just scores like 10 points a game for like 6 more years. He retires like 34,000 points. He's at 25 now, man. I'm just saying.
Listen, I still like Melo. So I'm fine with that.
He just pushes past Kobe and then retires.
That would be ideal. But next 10 will be coming next Tuesday. We'll do these for the next month.
Heck yeah. Embrace the
Amongst yourselves.
Yeah, no. Not in my mentions. Mm-mm.
That was a very civil top 10 for us. There's one coming up real soon that I know will get immediate backlash from you.
Oh, boy.
The rest of them I don't think will. But we'll see. Indeed. Rest in peace, Tom Bro, dude.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Porter.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Bo.
Yes.
I truly hate how long that list is.
Man, oh man.
Car Care's Fund for Flint. Smash that donation button, please and thank you.
Please.
And we will see you guys later this week.
See you.
Cause that's my honey, berry, heli, berry, baby. You drive me so crazy. If I can't have you, I might just have to fly to space today. The only way I'm functioning is if I could have you. So maybe you could be my honey, berry. You could be my heli, berry. Honey, berry, 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 heli, berry. I need smoking, sleeping, TV chicks and Chinese food and love all week. A master plan so we get rich and then we never had to leave. A plan to fly to Italy for player shit. Can only treat a boat that I could tan and cheat. We could do it ocean deep. Honey, berry, Halle Berry. See that dairy, boy it's scary. Fight it like a demigorgon. Make some demigorgon, baby. Still not boosting 2080. I won't smash it when I'm 80. Just so I can get to say I get more ooh than my grandbabies. Cause that's my honey, berry, Halle Berry, baby. Drive me so crazy. Yeah. If I can't have you, I might just have to fly to space today. The only way I'm functioning is if I could have you. So maybe you could be my honey, baby. You could be my Halle Berry, honey, berry, 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 no jam, grape jelly. No telly, my bed cozy, rub my belly. All you hoes won't see my face, Wizard Kelly. All my bros, hey, how much I be on my celly? I think she did voodoo on my damn spaghetti. She talk shit, I'm calling mama, girl, I'm telling. Now I'm playing, just know that I won't do no yelling. Infomercial, I buy whatever that she selling. That's my honey, berry, Halle Berry, baby. You drive me so crazy. If I can't have you, I might just have to fly to space today. The only way I'm functioning is if I could have you. So maybe you could be my honey, berry. You could be my Halle Berry, honey, berry, 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 Halle Berry.
Maria, what's up, girl? Let me get a pack of woods, man. Actually, a pack of, give me a pack of honeyberry. Yeah, the 5-pack. And let me get your number 2, girl. I need that.
So, we caught your daughter holding another student in a headlock? Very aggressively. Now, this school has a zero-tolerance violence policy. We're not sure how to proceed.
Well, I guess I have to ask, why did you do it?
Because he said he liked me and that I can be his girlfriend. So I put him in a headlock because I don't need any boys.